Hello and welcome to the Informs Podcast, streaming live on Wednesday, the 21st of July. Welcome back. We've been missing for 2 weeks, but we're back in action this evening. And joining me is Steve Withers.
Please get out of my Van Halen t-shirt before you jinx the band and they break up.
Ed Selly.
Alcohol equals puke equals smelly mess equals nobody likes you.
And Kaz Harlow.
You talk about her ass again and I'll break your neck.
So like I say, welcome back. We have been missing for 2 weeks on the weekly podcast. We had a little break and it's been lovely. We did miss you, honest. But yeah, we had...
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't miss it at
Not
all.
It's been great.
We've had all sorts. Steve went to the Euros. I had to turn the ticket down, but Steve went, didn't you?
Euro I did. Final. It was almost the best night of my life.
Almost.
But I will like to say a big thank you to Hisense who really put the red mat, red carpet out. It was top draw all the way.
I was gutted. I couldn't go.
It was amazing. It was just amazing up until the last penalty. Yeah, lovely food. I mean, there was loads and loads of booze, but I didn't want to drink before the match because I thought I'd only be going for a pee every 5 minutes. And I didn't want to drink afterwards because we'd lost. So I ended up drinking very little, annoyingly. But anyway, I can't complain.
Don't worry, Steve. I think the rest of Wembley made up for you.
Yeah. You know what? It was bizarre. I was completely oblivious to any of that until I watched the news the next morning in the hotel bay. I put the news on. I thought, oh, was there trouble last night? I don't know anything about that. Luckily, I wasn't mixing with the
You were up in the posh seats.
It was quite a clever bit of marketing on the part of Hisense. But you know the little girl that Mason Mount gave his shirt to for the semi final. Well, she didn't have tickets for the final, so Hisense gave her brother and her dad tickets, and they were sat next to me. I got to say, her language was appalling. My language was appalling, and it was really hard not to swear when I was surrounded by kids. But I did the best I could.
And you know, you being on the register and all that, you know.
But I would say, I will say that you know they had an education that night in three ways. Well, two ways. One, obviously, they got education in terms of really competitive swearing. But also, I think they got an education because I think that little girl and her brother, you know, up to that point, they'd seen us in the World Cup in 2018 in semi-finals. Here we were in the final. Of the Euros, and then we balled it up at the last second. So welcome to being an England fan, and get used to it because I spent 54 years watching us lose everything.
Well, hey, raise them in Scotland and in no disappointment.
Won't even get out of the group stages.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, it was still on balance a competitive showing. It's just a shame that we decided to go out early and then ambitiously try and park the bus for 94 minutes.
We didn't park the bus. That was the problem. We should have brought Henderson on earlier. Yeah. I don't know why we just didn't keep attacking because we looked awesome when we did. Sorry. It's been a long time.
Derailed.
Right. So what else have we been up to? Because we've been away for 2 weeks. Ed, what have you been doing?
Sweating. I've been doing an awful lot of that. I'm not designed for this climate. I really am not. I have to say it's been very tedious, Phil. I've largely been working. I'm delighted to have work coming in from all sorts of different places. But yeah, it's not been terribly, terribly exciting. I have sort of gone back into sort of, you know, pub-based culture and stuff like that. So I have been tentatively using that. Otherwise, no, that's me. In 2 weeks, I've literally done nothing different to what I would normally do in the standard 7-day gap between podcasts. I've just done more of it because I had 2 weeks. I have enjoyed cooking on a Wednesday evening, which I don't normally get to do. That's about the highlight of it.
Yeah. Well, there's a local walking group that go on a Wednesday.
That's Phil's server fans and buses and stuff because he's dying otherwise.
Yeah, I can't switch it off. I'll die otherwise. But anyway, there's a local walking group. For the last two Wednesdays, I've been doing quite a few miles on a Wednesday night out walking with them. So unfortunately, I won't be able to do it going forward. But that's been enjoyable. And I've put 2,500-odd miles on the car, which is a month old today. So I have been using it, obviously.
So we've done more miles in a month than I've done in the last 8.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
And it's all been good miles. We've been out with the car club quite a bit. Obviously, we've had great weather, good weekends, and and also, so we've done loads of runs all over the place, all over the borders and Northumberland and the lakes and North Yorkshire. So it's been great. So I've enjoyed my little break from the good podcasting anyway. And Kaz, you've been away on holiday.
I have, yeah. I went down to Wales. It was
though not really a holiday then. it was I lived close enough to Wales to be able to say that.
I enjoyed Wales when I went there.
Really good. We got really nice. Yeah, it was really, really.
Where
really
were nice. You in Wales, Kaz?
Lelandry. I don't know. I'm not even gonna come close. Close right. to Port Bury.
Okay.
Port Bury.
Lovely.
Close to that. Close to where Amelia Earhart landed.
Fine.
Okay. I thought she disappeared.
Well,
when
that mystery solved then?
She made an impromptu. Yeah, she landed in Wales and has never been.
That would explain a lot, to be honest.
No. And they ate her.
Yeah. No. We went there. Spent too much time on the beach. Got absolutely roasted. Kids loved it.
It must be said you are looking heroically swarthy this evening. I mean, that's good. I mean, I just turned the sort of fat salmon colour.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I was stuck on the tide went out and I was stuck on an island with my son and he's doesn't know how to swim. So what I traditionally do when I get too hot is go in the water. But I wasn't given that option. He was in a full body wetsuits, so he did, and he had factor 50, so I was roasting like a lobster and he was like, what are we going to do now, let's make another sandcastle. And I was in Good, the Bad and the Ugly being dragged through the desert.
If he was wearing a wetsuit, was he not being cooked like a blooming deep-fried oyster?
Absolutely fine. I think as he'd gone through I carried him through the water, so it had taken on a lot of water. And in fact I think he was shivering at one point. He was doing fine and I was proper baking in the sun. So. Yeah,
but at least you tan, because I, you know, like me, I go from light blue to lobster red.
Effortlessly.
Yeah.
You go from light blue to stroke.
Almost.
Yeah, I push through the pain and eventually I do tan, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Right, so that's what everybody's been up to for the last 2 weeks. Thank you if you're joining us live tonight on YouTube. And thank you very much. If you do like what you hear and what you're listening to, then please do hit the like button. It is important. It helps other people find the podcast. It works with the YouTube algorithm that nobody understands. But anyway, if you do click like and you subscribe to the channel, it does help us. It helps bring new people to our cult. So thank you very much if you join us live. If you're not joining us live, you're listening a little bit later in the week, hello to you as well. If you have any questions, you can send them in, podcast@avforums.com, and we'll answer them next week. And of course, the chat window is there for you tonight. So if you have any questions that you want us to have a look at and answer, then do put them in the chat window, and we'll do our best this evening to do that. But I've got loads to get through tonight. There's current competition, which is coming up next. We've got lots of competition winners, because obviously we've been away for a few weeks. There's a podcast exclusive competition coming up hardware-wise. We've got a KEF streaming system and two soundbars that Steve's going to go through. We'll do some Q&As if we get any questions in. And then we're moving on to album of the week and then film and TV and what we've been watching. And given it's been 2 weeks, I expect everybody's been watching lots. But then the sun's been out, so maybe that's not the case. I don't know. But anyway, we're going to go to competition. So, Kaz, what can we win?
Sure, there's a whole bunch of new 4K competitions. The limited edition Babadook 4K box set from Second Sight. It's a nice set. We've also got Snatch and Almost Famous from Sony on 4K and Blu-ray box sets for Complete Winona Earp, Criterion's July titles, and Eureka's Wild Search, Second Sight's limited edition Blu-ray of The Craze, Dazzler's Archive and Crazy Samurai, and plenty more. There's a total of 16 competitions live and more to follow over the coming weeks. So head over to avforums.com/competitions to enter. All competitions open to eligible AV Forums members resident in the UK. We've got a lot of previous competition winners. In fact, I've saved the ones I've drawn today for next week. Kosh beat out 5,000 entrants, no jokes, please, Ed, to win the much-coveted Indiana Jones 4-movie collection on 4K, which he safely received.
And presumably he's changed it to the three movies and a drinks coaster collect.
One movie and three drinks coasters, if you want my opinion.
I watched Kingdom with the kids because they're really into indie now and we couldn't finish it. And even the kids,
it is even worse than I remember.
Just it was going okay to begin with, but just gradually got worse until Tarzan. And that's around where we just stopped and we parked it and went on holiday.
it was so bad, you had to leave the house.
Leave the country. Leafy One won a copy of Big Fish on 4K. V-Dub won In the Line of Fire on 4K. Andrew JH009 won Final Fantasy Advent Children on 4K. Spartacus 69 won Criterion's June titles on Blu-ray. Philippus won the patron exclusive Das Boot Season 2 on Blu-ray. Vader 100 won But I'm a Cheerleader on Blu-ray. I have to apologize, Vader 100. You sent me your address. I sent it off in the post to you. I didn't put your name on it. It turned back to me today because it was an old parcel, so it had my name on it. So I'll send it again. Maybe I'll use your address this time.
Pushing it to the end.
Ginger 24 won Uncle Vanya on Blu-ray, and Evil Loki won Shockwave Hong Kong Destruction on Blu-ray. Stay tuned for our podcast exclusive competition to win a copy of Mosley, It's Complicated on Blu-ray.
Okay, coming up next is hardware.
If you'd like to support the AV Forums podcast on a regular basis, then why not become a patron? Head over to patreon.com/AV Forums to sign up. You can also make a one-off donation through the Super Chat or via streamlabs.com/AV Forums. All donations help us to improve the website and the podcasts. Thank you to all our supporters.
Apologies, it is too hot tonight. So if you suddenly hear fans in the background, and so it's just because I've had to give up and switch them on. So apologies for that. But you know how hot it is at the moment. But anyway, we're going to move on to hardware. We've quite a bit to go through. And it's the first podcast of the month as well. So we'll cover some of the things that we're looking at this month as well. So those will be coming up. But Ed, let's go to you first. A streaming system from Kef. Tell us all about it.
Yes, this is one of the most requested products, because you do send me messages going, can you review this? This is one of the most requested. Late last year, I reviewed the Kef LS50 Meta, and now it's the turn of the LS50 Wireless 2, which is an active version of the LS50 Meta, but as well as having the amplifiers on board in the same way that Kef did in the first generation, as well as there being all of the amplification, digital crossovers, the lot, it comes with all of its inputs as well. So it's not designed to bolt onto an existing preamp. It is a self-contained system. This means that it works over UPnP. You can AirPlay, cast, and Bluetooth to it. It has HDMI ARC, one optical, one coaxial, and one analog input. The nature of how it works means that the analog input will be converted back to digital so it can send it from one speaker to the other. But you probably knew that anyway. And the way it does it is pretty seamless. Now, this is a bit of an interesting product because if you wanted to try and frame its competition points, in essence, it's more like a Name Muso QB2 in so much as it is an out-of-the-box system that works. You just connect the one or two items you might have to it. It doesn't need any other equipment. But price-wise, it's getting on for being rather closer to things like the Name Unity Atom. But the good news is it largely manages to justify the fact that it costs £2,300 because it is extremely good. And there's two levels to the being good, and I'll cover sound in a bit. But I reviewed the Kef LSX system for AV Forums a little while ago, and I had no problem with the way they sounded. I had no problem with the way that they were designed. But operationally, I thought they were a bit crude. There were two control apps, one to set it up, one to listen to it. Neither of them worked terribly well. And I just wasn't particularly enamored with the whole experience. Kef has made some big progress. Oh, it's just me now, monologuing. Kef has made some significant progress with the control apps, and the stability of the system is dramatically improved. The lost my train of thought. The other thing that they have done is
no one was listening.
No, I know.
Ed, I'm about to literally leave you on your own because I'm going to have to reboot my router because my internet connection speed has just fallen off.
Well, I'll just have to handle it.
Keep going, mate. You're a diamond.
Doing a heroic job. Right. The original KEF wireless LS50 wireless, you had to have an Ethernet cable between the two speakers so they could communicate together. Wireless 2 is more like the smaller LSX system. They can communicate wirelessly. Furthermore, they can communicate wirelessly at a higher bandwidth than the LSX can. So it's now 2496. If you can wire them together, I recommend wholeheartedly that you do so because fundamentally, they as the review stipulates, I had a couple of dropouts and one time where only one speaker started from standby. And that's going to be frustrating for someone from KEF listening to this because, as I say in the review, cumulatively it equates to about 15 minutes in 100 plus hours of use that didn't work. But I would, if you've got the means of doing a tidy wired connection between the two and KEF supplies the cable, I'd still wire them together. It's just bulletproof. It's just reliable. It just works. And the other thing, of course, is that like the originals, you can use them via Rune, which is obviously an expensive but an extremely good user interface in its own right. But by making them so flexible in terms of cast, in terms of HDMI ARC, and in terms of other things, they fundamentally aren't so dependent on the control app as the older ones were, and the control app is better when you do choose to use it, especially if you are just using them via streaming services. And a lot of streaming services supported, Tidal, Cobra, Spotify, Deezer, so on and so forth. So all of that works seamlessly. The other thing about it is that they sound extremely good. I go on about this at a great length in the review. But when I tested the LS50 Metas, it's a very positive review, but I couldn't shake the feeling that they're a £1,000 speaker that needs dramatically more than £1,000 worth of equipment to make them do what they're supposed to do. This, at £2,200, it more than doubles the cost, but it just feels like the product that this speaker should be. You know, they have 380 watts a side, which sounds preposterous in a speaker that's 30 centimeters tall, but it just works beautifully. You have to drive the bolts out of them before they sound in any way ragged or uncontrolled. They have sensational bass for a speaker that size. In fact, in the review, I note that best results I had was actually telling them that they're closer to a wall than they actually are, which rolled them off slightly, had no real appreciable effect on the bass response in Rune, but it just tightened things up and made them sound a little bit faster. You can, if you are an absolute bass head, attach a subwoofer to them, but honestly, I'd be amazed if most people wanted to. And using them across a mixed schedule of stuff, so I use them to watch some of the early episodes of Loki and other bits of television whilst listening to them. For the price, they didn't really put a foot wrong. They are an absolutely outstanding product. There are obviously caveats that you need to apply, but they apply to all products of this nature. Where a name Muso 2 needs one main socket, these obviously need two because there are two separate powered speakers. If you are connecting a television via HDMI ARC, remember that HDMI cable is going to have to get seamlessly and neatly out to one of the speakers. So if the speaker is a long way from the television, that's going to be harder than if you're connecting to something which is just directly below it. But honestly, if you have a bit of a plan as to how you're going to install them, this is a sensationally good product. It is one or two app and sort of software tweaks away from being a best in class, but as it is an exceptional thing, well worth auditioning if that's what you need. And as I said in the review, if you don't order them in red, you're a coward.
Yeah, good one. They do look good in the photographs. I have not seen one in person yet. I haven't seen one in the metal, so
it's a definite style statement for sure. And if you live in, you know, a National Trust property, they're probably not going to blend in, but they are beautifully made and they have the confidence of just looking. They, you know, they don't feel like a man in a shed product. They are assembled to an exceptional standard. They're finished to an exceptional standard and they're easy and easy to use and extremely flexible. So, you know, I think they're an excellent product. I think it is the best. It is the iteration of the LS50 that makes the most sense to me.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Ed. And if you want to find out more about the product, the review is on the homepage at the moment. So go and read the review where Ed goes into far more detail about the performance and what you're actually getting for your money and so on. So go check out his review at avforums.com. And don't forget, if you are enjoying the podcast this evening and seeing us suffer in the heat, whether that be equipment failures or failures on ourselves, then give us a like. And you can also subscribe to the channel if you don't mind. So let's move on. Let's talk about more audio. We're going to go to Steve for some sound bars.
Who'd have thunk it, eh? Sound bars.
Yeah, again. It's, it's not
losing
like
the will to live. Next week, I'm definitely not talking about sound bars. I'll be talking about something else that I've been playing with, although it's now too hot to stick on a VR headset and jump around.
Okay. Yeah. Well, see, with,
I was worried
where
that was,
we need
I
video.
Was worried where yes, that was going for a minute, but I'm pleased that we pulled it back.
I'll let him finish his
sentence. I always pull it back.
Oh, dear. Right. Where were
yeah,
we?
Yeah, soundbars. So, yeah, I've got two to talk about. I'll make it relatively quick so we don't all melt. They're Samson HWS60A, which is their latest lifestyle soundbar. So last year it was the HWS60T, and the two are pretty similar. In fact, on top of my head, the only difference I can think of is, well, two differences actually. One is actually quite important and one is useful. The main difference is that this year there's a dedicated center speaker. So rather than it being four channels, two forward, two sort of overhead side, not two sort of two forward and two to give it more presence at the sides and above. Now it's got five channels. So there's a dedicated center speaker left and right, and then the two sort of, you know, what they call acoustic beaming technology to give it a bigger presence at the front of the room. And it's also, they've also added AirPlay too. So that's a useful feature to have. So I've got to say, it's I think it's the same price, so $399, same as last year. And I liked last year. I thought it sounded great. It looks very pretty. It's the kind of thing that would look very nice in a modern living space. You get a choice of black or white. It's obviously covered in Kvadrat fabric, which is, you know, de rigueur these days.
Easy for you.
It was not easy to say.
So should have bought shares in that bloody company.
It sounds great. I think the addition of the center speaker definitely adds a little extra in terms of dialogue clarity. It still has a big presence for not a particularly large soundbar. It does sound pretty big and surprisingly bassy, considering it doesn't come with a dedicated subwoofer. You can buy an optional wireless sub to go with it if you want, but the actual unit itself is a standalone single unit. It does what it does. It does what it says on tin. Basically, it looks pretty. It sounds nice, and it would look lovely in your lounge. So, if you're looking for a lifestyle option in that sort of price range, and you're not bothered about things like Atmos and DTSX, then definitely worth considering. And obviously, if you want to add more bass, you have the option, to pay for the extra wireless subwoofer. The other soundbar is the LG SP8YA, which is I think it's the third down from the top. So the SP11 I was talking about three weeks ago is the flagship. This is a couple of notches down. So basically it does support Atmos and DTSX. It comes with a wireless subwoofer. It has upward firing drivers and center. So I think it runs a 3.1.2. So yeah, left and right, center, upward firing drivers and the sub. So obviously that means that, you know, out of the box, unless you stump up for some optional wireless rear speakers, you're going to be getting a fairly expansive soundstage, but obviously very front heavy because all the speakers are at the front of the room. I've got to say, I thought this actually did sound pretty good. This was a good solid soundbar. No issues in terms of bass management, although I believe that issue from last year has been fixed even on last year's models now. So it shouldn't be a problem there. The only issue I had with this, and this is exactly the same problem that I had with the SP11, which is that despite claiming that it can pass Dolby Vision, it wouldn't do that with a Panasonic 4K display, which is probably the majority of 4K displays these days. So yes, I could pass Dolby Vision from an LG 4K display, I could pass Dolby Vision from an Apple TV, but not from from the Panasonic players. So bear that in mind if you've got a Panasonic player. Obviously, it also doesn't pass HDR 10 Plus because it's LG. And, but yeah, it's well made. It looks nice. It sounds great. And at $599 is not too pricey either, actually. That's a pretty competitive price. But my caveat to that is if you've got a Panasonic 4K display and you're not going to be going via the TV and back via EARC, you want to go straight into the soundbar, then bear in mind that at the moment at least, it does not pass Dolby Vision. Didn't do it last year either, I should say. I got a bit annoyed with LG when I mentioned it to them, and they acted like I didn't know what I was talking about. I said, well, I told you this last year as well. I have no idea why it's a compatibility issue. It doesn't make any sense to me, but there is.
Okay. And these reviews are going to be up this week and into the weekend. So keep your eye on the homepage to read those reviews from Steve on those two soundbars. Thank you very much, Steve.
Short and sweet.
Well, it needs to be this evening. It's just too it's too darn hot to be doing this all night. So we won't be doing 2 hours, people, this evening. It's going to be an hour.
I can hear the cheers from here.
Some people have noticed that I've got next gen gaming consoles behind me. We've got a PS5 and I've also got an Xbox.
Where the hell did you get that from?
Series X. So thank you very much to Smiths. They are our gaming sponsors at the moment. So thank you very much to them. They supply the consoles and the consoles for the gaming team so they can do the games reviews. And I can test all the HDMI 2.1 stuff and VRR and all the rest of it for the TV reviews. So thanks very much to Smiths for sponsoring our gaming coverage. It is appreciated. I jumped the queue. I managed to get hold of both.
Given you're such a massive gamer too.
I was wondering if all those...
Talk about a complete waste.
If all those miles that you put on the Mustang was just you chasing after delivery lorries, Fast and the Furious style. trying to do a high quality heist. Congratulations, Phil. Two games consoles that many people are desperate to get hold of that will sit slowly gathering dust in your house.
It makes you their boxes by the looks of it.
It makes you feel good to be alive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Smiths, 3D Blu-ray Bunker, Smiths with a Y.
Smiths
Toys.
Yes. Yeah, Smiths Toys. They are a gaming sponsor, so thank you very much to them. They won't sit gathering dust. They will be used, obviously, for testing. With the new TVs and so on, because everything's getting gaming heavy on TVs and everything needs to work these days. We've gone to 120 frames, 4K and VRR and ELLM and everything needs to work and everything needs to talk to each other. And it's going to be an issue for the next few months, if not years to come. That's what I intend to do going forward with the reviews on the TVs. There will be a separate gaming section on them now where we do test what we can in terms of gaming and so on. And if you're wondering what's behind me, the Sony A90J, the review is just about to go live on the site. That's coming off the stand tonight once I've videoed some menus. The exciting life I lead.
Living the dream.
Sit and close the windows and make sure it gets dark, and I'm going to film some menus on a TV, rock and roll style. So got that. Got Hisense A9G, which
as
is sitting next
to AG9, which was a Sony OLED from a year or two ago. confusing.
So it's sitting next to it. Quite a difference in price. Not as big a difference in picture quality as you think, but not quite as good as you would hope. There are a few issues with that one. And I've also got a TCL Roku TV sitting in the other room, still in a box, and an LG C1 48-inch, which will be a quick review because I'm just going to test that with the gaming consoles, really. We've tested the C1 twice now, so there's not going to be any major differences there. So that's what's coming up. I've still got a JBL Synthesis system to review. It's been grand. I've been playing music for the last month or so in the background. So that review's coming up because I also need to set up a Sony projector, which is still sitting in a flight case. It's just been too darn hot to go in the cinema room the last few days. So I've got that to work on as well, coming up to the end of the month. So I've got lots of things to do, and I've also got all the videos, all the settings videos, video reviews and so on. So keep an eye on the AV Forums channel for all of that. Steve, what are you looking at this month? Even though we're halfway through the month, almost at the end of the month. It's the first time we've spoken about this. So what you got coming up?
as I alluded to earlier, I have been playing with the Oculus Quest 2, which I absolutely love. Yeah, short version, fantastic, and a ridiculous value, but obviously it's owned by Facebook, so it probably means they're just mining all your personal data left, right, and center. but you know what? At that price, I don't care. Also, the Anthem MRX 740, which is their one of their new AV receivers, seven-channel receiver, that, again, is a cracking piece of kit. And then a couple more soundbars. The
wow,
yeah, what a surprise. The Klipsch Cinema 600 and an unusual one, the Creative Carrier. So Creative have made a soundbar, which yeah, promises a lot. Obviously interesting to see whether it delivers.
Fair enough.
Okay. And Ed, I'm going to take a punt and guess that you're doing some hi-fi.
Well, yes, but we're covering off some different bases this month. We've got a project debut has returned. I've already reviewed the project, but the distributor, Henley Audio, has very kindly sent it back with every single optional project upgrade in a box with it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it. And you've heard me in various turntable reviews where I say suggest changing this and so on and so forth. What we're actually going to do, because AV Forums reviews are unique and they go on, they can be as long as they need to and they can have as many pictures as they need to, I'm going to run through all of these different upgrades and we're going to see what difference they actually make and which ones are worth doing, which ones are worth pursuing. And I'm going to do that in the context of a closed ecosystem where you can buy every single one of them for project for that turntable. And for people who aren't interested in that, and, you know, I appreciate that there's one or two of you, you know, non-weirdos, we've got the latest version of the Blue Sound Node, which realistically the predecessor was the best affordable streamer you could buy under £1,000. So we're going to need to see how the new version does. We've got the wireless version of the Philips Fidelio headphone. I'm looking at a relatively sensibly priced floor standard from Triangle, amongst other things. Oh, there's some earphones from Etymotic. And earphones from Etymotic that have more than one driver for the first time ever, which is quite a big deal for them anyway. So, yeah, lots and lots of little random things, Phil. Different stuff, broadening the horizons.
Okay, good stuff. Let's have a quick look. See if there's any questions that we need to answer. So Chris is asking about the GZ2000 review. I haven't heard from Panasonic yet. I would expect, given that we're in July, that samples will be available soon. So keep your eyes peeled for that one. I will get in touch with them, actually, and just find out what's happening with that. So that should be coming up very soon. The TVs are normally around about now. Just trying to see if there's anything else. Yes, it was Smith's Toys that we're talking about. There's one there for you, I think. Is there,
Ed? Well, I don't know. There's one from a chat called Joshua. I have a Denon AVR E400 receiver, the receiver is just hard and cumbersome to program. Is there a better receiver that's not going to be, I'm assuming in this instance, both sounding better and it also doesn't require a PhD to use? I mean, I'm assuming, the catch is here that Josh is in the US, and I don't know what the exact comparison is.
I've never heard of an E400.
I think
views.
No, that's the problem. Is that in terms of model numbers, it's not a direct comparison. I mean, modern Denon stuff, Steve, you've used it, and I've used some of the Marantz stuff. That's all pretty straightforward.
I'm not entirely sure what he means by cumbersome to program. I mean, you know, if you buy a modern Denon, you plug in the HDMI, it'll read the EDID and tell you what the device you've connected is. If he's referring to the Matt, perhaps you could add a bit more context, Josh. If he's referring to Odyssey setup, again, that's pretty much foolproof these days. I mean, you just follow the instructions on the screen. So, if you like Denon, and I love Denon, I recommend them. Obviously, it depends on how many channels you want, what your budget is, but any of the new X range. In this country, at least, the X-Range series are all, they're all superb. So, and easy to set up. And, you know, the setup wizard that takes you through the whole process, you couldn't be, you know, it really is very simple. So, but I must admit, I'm not Have you heard of the AVRE?
Well, no, this is the problem. Denon used completely different model numbers for stuff in the US. Yeah. So unfortunately, I'm not. But I mean, also in terms of blindingly easy to use, although their auto setup isn't as good, all the modern Yamaha stuff is absolutely bulletproof in terms of how it operates and the rest of it. So that's always worth a look as well. And as they're supposed to have made some changes to their.
Josh added a few more. Sorry, basically, I just need a good receiver. Josh, budget, how many channels do you want?
And we can Steve will make it,
and then
work.
We can recommend something. So give us a bit more info, mate.
Yeah,
and we'll see what we can do.
Okay, so we'll see if Joshua can do that before the end of the show. We'll try and do that. Yeah. If not, send it to podcast@avforums.com, or if you have questions,
obviously do a more in-depth answer then.
Send an email and we'll have it lined up for next week. Right. Stuart says you can ask on the forums as well. If you want to in the meantime.
Many different answers.
So we're going to be back in a second because we're moving swiftly onto software.
If you enjoy the podcast on YouTube, then please like and subscribe. If you're listening to the audio version, then please leave us a rating on your podcast app. We invite you to email questions and feedback to podcast@avforums.com and join in with this episode's discussion thread in the podcasts forum at AV Forums.
Yeah. Right, let's move on to software. So we're going to talk to Ed first about his album choice of the week. I've got to say, I don't think you recommended this one directly. I think I actually saw your recommendation on Twitter, Ed.
I stuck it on Twitter, yeah.
And I went and had a quick listen, and I've actually listened a couple of times to this album. So why don't you tell us about it? Because I thought it was very, very good.
Yes, I had no previous experience of this lady at all. She's called Eliza Shedad. She is half Senegalese, half Scottish. This is her second full-length album. It came out on Friday. It's called The Woman You Want. And it's just a really tight piece of songmaking with just a twist in the tail. It's an interesting take because it's not fully acoustic. She plays about with both electrical instruments and electrical effects. What makes this album stand out for me is that the quality of her songwriting is just outstanding, both lyrically and in terms of hooks. The little songs that get under your skin, you find yourself humming bits of them and so on and so forth. And it's quite an interesting piece of thematic work as well. It's all essentially tying into the title. It's love, death and relationships and so on and so forth. Then lurking towards the back end of the album is a track called In the Morning, brackets, Grandmother Song. Perhaps not the most stirring title going. That is a truly astonishing piece of work. It's a bit odd because in some regards, contextually, it sits a little bit different to the rest of the album, but I can fully understand why she wanted to include it. That, I make no bones about the fact, is one of the very best things I've heard this year. Just absolutely out there. I have bought this on vinyl because I really enjoyed it. I can vouchsafe that the quality of the analog pressing is extremely good. It's in an attractive sort of minty green color as well, if you like that sort of thing. and it's on all the major streaming services, obviously lossless for the bulk of them. Cobuzz certainly has a 24-bit version as well. If you are watching the podcast either live or later on, you will see that Stuart has linked to her Bandcamp page. If you buy it from Bandcamp, obviously she gets more of your money. You have the option of buying it as a lossless file as well. You can visit her back catalogue. She's done an enormous number of EPs and an earlier full-length album. I found it an ideal piece of music to listen to in this weather. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I hope you guys do too.
Yeah, I agree with you with that one, Ed. I've listened to it a couple of times, like I said. Nicely recorded, nicely put together, and I'd never heard of her. But
no, neither had I.
Fantastic voice.
Yes, absolutely. So yes, I hope you all enjoy that. Otherwise, I have to say, it's not been, for me, this is not, 2021 is the is beginning to show the lack of time that a number of artists had for studio time and studio recordings last year when we were all locked down. It's still there are some promising releases in the pipeline, but it's still been, in terms of truly great albums this year, it's still not been a vintage one for me. But by the same token, 2020 was absolutely outstanding. So yeah. I guess rough with the smooth and all that.
Okay. Anybody else got anything to recommend, listening wise? Nope. We're done.
Well, not that it was recorded in the last 50 years now.
Very on brand, Steve.
So I haven't gone to the cinema yet, and I'm not sure when I'm going to go to the cinema, but I have booked.
That's when I'm going to the cinema.
But I have booked concert tickets for the first time in a long time. So I'm going to see the Manic Street Preachers end of September, if it goes ahead.
Mm.
Newcastle City Hall. So it's not an album release that I'm aware of, so I think it's just
there is an album out in September.
So it will be. I'll be with that album then. Okay, because I was looking around for the album and I couldn't find the album. So anyway, I got my tickets for that, and I'm also going to go and see the Human League in December. So there you go. I quite fancy some live music for a change. I haven't done that.
I had no idea that your car was capable of time travel.
Yeah, there you go.
You can tell Phil's had two jabs and he's really making the most of it now. Passported up to the eyeballs.
Hey. Off to lick some lampposts.
Yep, absolutely. Right, so let's move on. Let's talk about.
I should warn you, Phil. I was sick as a dog the week after Wembley because not because I had COVID. I did a lateral flow test, but just I think my immune system wasn't used to being anywhere near that many people.
And the number of people that I have been associating with recently, or people that I know that have to self-isolate at the minute because they're all getting pinged on the app. So I'd imagine an event like Wembley or whatever.
Don't get the app is the obvious solution.
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? Don't load the app on your phone if you don't want to. So lots of people having to do that, unfortunately. And when you get concerts and that kind of thing, it's just going to go wild if they're still doing this track and trace. So there you go. Right, let's move on. 4K and Blu-ray of the week, Kaz. So what's your recommendations that people go and watch?
Well, I think I mentioned on the previous podcast, The Babadook, because I had the Second Sight limited edition set in, and I had the test disc in early. I've got the full finished set here, and it is absolutely gorgeous. For my money, Babadook's one of the best recent horrors I've come across. I don't know whether I'm a huge traditional horror fan, but when you do something clever with it like this, I find it really, it really resonates, and it's a very visually inventive piece for a directorial debut. I think that she did a
quite scary.
Yeah, it's a stunning piece of work, like blending metaphor with supernatural horror.
Well, and you can interpret it one of two ways.
Either way, yeah. The disc is gorgeous. I mean, it is a very, very visual piece, despite being really, really quite low budget. I think just a few million, I think, that she got funding for, but and all largely in one house. But it's very inventive. And they make the most.
The kid's very good too, isn't he?
The kid is
creepy.
You'd be a little bit worried about what was going on with that kid.
So in terms of presentation, Kaz, I'm assuming it's Dolby Vision, is it?
It's not.
It's not. Okay.
No, but it's still gorgeous native 4K restoration. It looks tremendous. I mean, I'm coming across more and more discs that aren't Dolby Vision these days, but still look the part. I think a lot of Sony releases aren't Dolby Vision. It looks great. I don't think it could look. It's not a piece that you'd expect to benefit from 4K, but it really does look very, very good. And they haven't gone nuts on the soundtrack. It's still DTS HD 5.1, but it does the job. And they have gone nuts on the packaging. There's a whole host of extra features and commentary and everything, and it looks really good, with lots of pictures of the Babadook and stills and stuff in a big fat box set. Those kind of box sets they're doing now, like Arrow are making their money on making it really hard to stick them on your actual shelf.
Yeah, that's the only thing with box sets, isn't it? It's fitting on the shelf. But you see, it's a horror, but not a traditional horror. So in terms of, you know, the way that cinematographers and directors approach the subject matter, it's normally very muted.
It is very muted. I mean,
So they've gone for the traditional look then, and anything red is normally a sign of danger, that kind of thing.
Yeah, she wanted to shoot it in black and white. I don't know whether it was to do with funding or whether she had second thoughts, but it is basically black and white. I mean, it's just not quite, because obviously there's some skin tones in there and everything.
It kind of ties in with the whole idea of drawing, sketching in charcoal.
Yes.
Something.
Yes. And I mean,
I don't want to give away anything about the plot, basically.
No, the whole house is the most muted shades of grey house you could imagine. I mean, anyone living
you wouldn't want to live there.
Go insane. So I don't know. Maybe they got as far as production design before they decided not to shoot in black and white. But it's a very black and white environment
And sound mix.
It's a DTS HD 5.1. It hasn't been upgraded, but it sounds great. And the sound design is very good. It's like things like they're lying in bed trying to go to sleep, and they'll hear a bump. And then they'll just ignore it, as you probably would. And then they hear another bump, and then, you know, there's a creaking door or something. It's very nicely done. Okay. Sound design is very nice. I don't know whether it would have been beneficial to get that Atmos upgrade. You never know how those turn out these days, but this soundtrack.
Yeah, I was more about sound mix, because again, it's one of those genres that really benefits from clever sound design. To raise tension and that kind of thing. So that's where I was heading with that. But anyway, Babadook 4K, check it out. Check out Kazi's review as well. It's on the homepage. Another one that you got in, you haven't had a chance to spin it yet, but it's certainly one that I'd consider buying from Arrow, and that's True Romance.
Yeah, it's sitting over there. Xavi normally get it to me before the weekend, but they didn't. So it was landing here when I got back. I mean, it's a very nice, another fat won't fit on your shelf box set, but it looks very nice. It's a nice set from Arrow. I haven't had the chance to spin it, so I can't tell you what it looks like, but I'm
mine's also sitting behind me and I haven't watched it yet, but it's got a theatrical version and the director's cut. Host of extras, deleted scenes, documentaries, you know, well, not documentary, featurette, should I say.
And postcards.
Yeah, and commentary tracks and a booklet. It's a nice package.
Yeah, and it's one of those films, I haven't seen it in probably 10 years, if not 15 years. It's a long time since I last saw it. So it's one of these films I would...
it's still fantastic. I watched it last year.
Yeah.
It's
right. Brilliant. Yeah, it's one I'd enjoy sitting down watching again. So I might be tempted by that set if it's still in stock. Right, so that's disc-wise. Let's move on, Kaz. Film-wise, what you've been watching, what you're recommending?
I saw Wrath of Man. I mean, it's been out.
Did you watch that at the cinema or got on a Blu-ray?
No. I mean, it's not. That's the big question mark. I didn't. I watched it stateside Apple, I think. I lose track of how. But it's available, I think, on Apple.
I've got US. The Blu-ray.
You've got the Blu-ray?
Yeah, from the States.
Oh, I didn't.
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. But
on Blu-ray, I mean,
there's really... no 4K release in the States, and God knows when it's going to come out here. It seems to just disappear.
So that's the thing. It was out for, it's set for the 30th, end of the month, and then they pulled it, and then they relisted it for the 23rd, which is this Friday, but no show times. And it made sense to relist it earlier because Suicide Squad's out next week. And so I kind of thought maybe they'll relist it earlier to avoid some dilution because of Suicide Squad, because that's getting good reviews. But the fact that they haven't put any showtimes up anywhere, I mean, you know, it's beyond like radio times. There's not much coverage in terms of it actually coming out on Friday. So I'm not sure whether that's going to happen or when we'll get it. If we don't get it now, it's going to land on streaming is my feeling, which is a shame because it did really well in the States. It was really popular in the States. So I'm not sure why it's taken so long. You're sitting there with a disc. I've seen it on US iTunes. It's you know, it doesn't make any sense why they're delayed.
No, Statham and, you know, Ritchie, come on.
And Gentleman was pretty popular. These things don't cost a huge amount to make, so they make a lot of money as a result, I think, because it's pretty much pure profit on something like this. I don't know. I don't know where it is, but you never know.
But is it worth watching, Kaz?
Is it? Oh, that's the question, isn't it? If you loved The Gentleman, if you loved The Gentleman, you're likely to really enjoy this. If you have just picked up Snatch on 4K, you'll probably think this isn't quite Ritchie enough. And if you have watched every single Statham film, you'll be pleasantly surprised that this is a cut above the majority of what he does, courtesy of Ritchie. So I rate it as a pretty good Statham film, but a pretty nondescript Ritchie film. So your mileage may vary depending how much of a Guy Ritchie fan you are, but I didn't necessarily think he brought anything other than efficiency to it. And he does have that habit of sometimes needlessly jumping around in the timeline, which in this case felt like this is a very, very rote script we are dealing with here. So let's just jump back and forth a bit in the timeline to distract away from the fact that we're doing something that's pretty by the numbers. But when Statham does his thing, it's great.
Yes, don't watch the trailer because it gives away way too much.
You know what? I didn't do that. And so no, I probably enjoyed it more.
You put the link to the trailer in your
reviews. Yeah, all the reviews have trailer links in there. So you're not going to get away from that. But yes, I personally avoid pretty much all the trailers. But I've heard that this one gives away the whole thing. Although if you watch it, I don't know whether that'll be such a big deal. I mean, you know what Jason Statham's going to do in a Jason Statham movie.
So what's the film that's going to make you go to the cinema then, Kaz?
Top Gun, Mission Impossible, maybe June, probably June. I'm a bit personally aggrieved that they haven't greenlit Part Two.
Well, I think they're waiting to see most money part.
Yeah, I know
that. Current circumstances, it's not going to make any money.
Yeah, it's a chicken and egg situation. But I don't know whether I desperately want to invest in an unfinished franchise.
Well, if you don't go and see it, they're not going to make Part Two.
I know. I said it was chicken and egg. But I really, you know, I it's supposed to be amazing. I can't believe they wouldn't just greenlit another one, but I guess
Blade Runner 2049
was one of the best sequels ever made, and it lost money. So unfortunately, people are idiots. That's the problem.
Well, I think
people are idiots. Steve Withers, AV4,
and most people are fucking idiots. So that's the problem.
Taking that into account, I'm not sure I'd have embarked upon a Part One. I think I'd have tried to
do back to back.
Yeah.
Well, isn't the plan to do three parts, in fact? Two parts of the book, and also Dune Messiah as being a third part, which is all the Paul Atreides stuff.
Do the important bit back to back, and if that doesn't succeed, then you don't have to worry about the rest of it. But
yeah, it does seem like it was doomed from the start.
Yeah, I think so that annoys me because I love the cast, I love the story, and you know, I have time for Lynch's version, but I think this will be it done properly. But I'll be so annoyed if it just ends the story. What do I have to finish? I have to watch the Lynch version to watch the ending of it. You know, it's
Lynch's version lost money, so that was a bad omen, I suppose.
Right, Steve. I'm assuming it's the same for you then. June. Going to the cinema.
Oh, we're going to the cinema. June. Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely going to go and see Dune. I'll probably go and see Top Gun Maverick because.
Come on, let's be honest.
Would you see Mission Impossible, the new Mission Impossible?
When's that out?
Next year.
Well, yeah. What's that? Give me a break, Kaz. I'm talking about between now and Christmas. I'll go and see Dune. I'll almost certainly go and see Spider-Man No Way Home, out of curiosity, nothing else. And probably Top Gun Maverick. That's it, though. Everything else I'll just get on disc. I mean, Black Widow, I'm glad I managed to watch that sat on my arse at home because I would have been annoyed if I'd gone away to the cinema to see that.
I enjoyed that, but I can't.
It's mediocre at best, and Ray Winston was bloody awful.
He was hilarious.
He couldn't even do a passable Russian accent. He's not remotely threatening. I don't know why they. Who thought that was a good idea?
I don't. But hang on a second.
Imagine if Alan Rickman had been in that part. He would have absolutely killed it. Wouldn't,
I hate to break it to you. He's dead.
Yeah, I know he's dead. I mean, you could pick someone.
It wasn't just the accent. It was the words he said.
Well, it was the script was poor.
It can't have been written for a Russian unless he came along and amended it and went, Ray Winston doesn't say this. Because he said stuff like pain in my ass and sword it in classic Ray Winston. And no one, I mean, anyway.
Anyway, there's a whole podcast about that. So go and listen to the movies podcast if you want to hear the team's thoughts on Black Widow. And Marvel.
Can I recommend a 4K disc?
Yes,
of course. Because it's, I don't know anybody other than me remember the film The Final Countdown?
I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw it at Cinema 79, absolutely loved it. Luckily, it was a flop. So I always wish, part of me wishes Star Wars had bombed in 77. So that now it would just be like a film I fondly remember, and we'd have a fantastic 4K disc of it right now, because the print would be, the negative would be in pristine condition because it wasn't being used to strike thousands of prints, and we wouldn't have all the crap sequels. The Final Countdown is kind of that, basically. No one went to go and see it other than me, I think, at the cinema, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
My dad enjoyed it.
So. Yeah, well, your dad would love it, partly because it had the full cooperation of the US Navy, and that is pretty obvious, and it's got some of the best, I mean, forget Top Gun, some of the best aerial, some of the best Tomcat action you'll ever see. There's a dogfight between Tomcats and Japanese Zeros that is top draw. And the negative was in great condition. The Blue Underground, so this is a US disc, I should stress this, you're going to have to buy it from the States, but the Blue Underground 4K disc looks absolutely amazing. Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos soundtrack that will give Top Gun a run for its money. Some really good extras, but it looks incredible. And love the film, and the disc is amazing.
Okay, so Kaz, you need to be getting this in for review then.
Okay. Should Kaz? It's a great film too.
If it's good as that, let's have a review.
The picture
It predates the slightly earwormy rock song of the same name, and it's not on it. So don't worry about that.
I do believe, though, the title of the rock song may have been inspired by the film.
No, aren't they? They're off to. They're in a spaceship off to Venus. That's why it's the Final Countdown for them.
Okay. Now, I like to think that Europe were fans of the film.
Well, whatever.
Just to wrap up then, recommendations of what we've been watching, what we'd recommend people go and view on their TV. Ed, what about you?
I'm not the target audience for the Marvel TV series, but I enjoyed Loki more than the others.
Loki's great. Yeah,
I liked it, and it also didn't go where I thought. I think it was going to be time travel shenanigans with Loki, fixing various cock-ups in history, which I must admit I would have still quite liked to see. Because there was an image released before when they started shooting of him in 1975 in front of a cinema with Jaws on the marquee. And there's also a shot in the trailer of King Loki, and neither of those were in the actual series. So I don't know whether there's more stuff to come or whether they
Quantum Leap
out.
Loki.
Well, I would have been quite up for that, to be perfectly honest.
Well, I still haven't seen it.
But it's good. It basically sets up the whole of Phase 4.
Well, this is the thing. I felt that it was hijacked a little to do that. But nevertheless, I enjoyed it. I thought the quality of the various performances from people. I mean, it was actually good to see Owen Wilson sort of enjoying himself. Not Owen Wilson. What's the other one? Is it Owen Wilson?
No, it was Owen Wilson.
Yeah. I was getting confused. At
you mean Luke Wilson?
There's many Wilsons, aren't there?
Wilson Phillips?
Yeah. Wilson the volleyball.
Brian Wilson?
Yeah.
Wilson Wilson.
I enjoyed that. And then otherwise, I've just been watching an unhealthy quantity of Air Crash Investigations.
Oh, God. You're still getting through them.
Well, no, I've been picking out ones I haven't seen for some time. I'm still disappointed that some of the... I mean, I appreciate that there are episodes where the findings are now in doubt or whatever, but surely it would be a case of picking out specific episodes and they could still get more seasons up. But nevertheless, I've been enjoying that. I enjoyed Clarkson's Farm.
I mean, talking about Air Crash, I mean, Tom's Horizon line review.
No, that I'm
absolutely
Tom is
tremendous.
He is doing himself any favors because he need to keep letting him only watch Tat.
I know. Well, he got requested to do it. I was down to review it, and then and then someone on the forum said this Horizon Line film is one of the worst films ever. Get Tom to review it.
He must have been delighted.
He was up for it. He was actually asking me for a bad movie. He thought you must have been having one of those days.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
Yeah, I know.
Did anyone watch Guns Akimbo? Is that any good?
No, not yet.
I haven't watched it yet. I am kind of interested in the setup. Yeah, I am. It's what is it? Disney Star?
No, it's on Amazon.
Amazon. Yeah.
Oh, tell you what, Disney Star, moving on. I don't know if anyone else knew this or when they added it or whatever, but Roger Rabbit's on there in 4K, Vision and Atmos.
Okay.
Did anyone else know that?
No. So you mean I can watch the clown, the shoe melting sequence that dismantled my childhood?
Yes, you can.
Vivid 4K on Vision. Oh, excellent.
They're getting aliens.
Well, I'm assuming there'll be everything eventually. I've got to say that
they're getting aliens imminently, and everyone is wondering whether it's going to magically appear in 4K because, of course, you know, James doesn't do stuff.
Star, I've got to say, is the gift that keeps on giving. There's some cracking stuff on Star.
Yeah.
It really is. Loads of great movies. I watched Mission to Mars last week, which I haven't seen in ages.
That's cool.
You said loads of great movies. I watched Mission to Mars.
It was, okay. Interesting stuff.
Get blacklisted by film producers for like a decade after
Mission to Mars and Red Planet
Red Planet. They weren't allowed to use Mars.
And then they made John Carpenter drop the off Mars because I thought that bombed. And then there was the Mars Needs Mums, and that lost a fortune. It's like
Seriously, Mars is jinxed. I'd like to see a Mars successful Mars movie now.
Well, I mean, what was last successful?
No, Total Recall.
Yeah, but no, they predate
Mars and the title. Yes.
Oh,
hang on. The Martian did quite well.
That's a stretch. It has to have the word.
How is that stretch? It's set on Mars.
It is a direct derivation of Mars, Kaz. It's
just the word Mars. I want the word Mars in a movie title.
Any other recommendations before we wrap up then? Or
Yes, this Friday, Ted Lasso is back on Apple TV Plus. Can't wait.
That's the 23rd.
Yes,
and obviously there's another Grand Tour thing
next Friday
weekend Friday Land.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one because it's American cars, Scottish Highlands. It should be entertaining.
Not good American cars as well.
No, they're awful American cars. So it should be very, very entertaining. Right, is that it? Have we done everything that we need to do this evening?
Well, I've got to be honest, Josh, you've supplied a load more information, but
which we haven't got time to read.
Not just that, I've read it, but the limitation is, there's two limitations, Josh. The first is in terms of your dollar budget to what everything on Brexit Island costs about eight times more than that, so we don't necessarily know exactly what you can get for $500. The other thing is that more power for that much, no. Just isn't, is that that's not really a viable option. My suggestion would be, you need to weigh up which one you want to do first, more power or better control options. Because if you want more power, it may be possible to attach external power amplifiers to your existing AV receiver. If you want better control options, it would be worth taking on board some of the things that Steve said earlier about some of the newer model Denons and other products as well, and see where you go from there. Because actually, for the most part, they share a common interface. So what works for the big ones works most of the way down the food chain. But the limitations of us being over 3,000 miles away from you are the specific recommendations fall by the wayside because, one, obviously the model numbers aren't the same, and two, I don't know how far your budget goes in the US. So apologies.
But head over to the forums.
Yeah, the forums has got a good spread of people on both sides, and they'll be able to sort you out.
He does point out that Boss Level was a good shoot 'em up actioner.
Well, I'd love to see it, but
yeah, exactly. What happened to that one? That's because he's in the States, obviously. It's it is a good shoot 'em up actioner, but where on earth is it?
Welcome to Plague Island.
Okay. Right, well, like I say, keep questions coming in. Even though we're about to wrap up, if you've got questions, you want us to answer them next week, then podcast@avforums.com. Send them through and we will answer them next week. But thank you very much. If you have been joining us live, it is appreciated. Please do remember to hit the like button if you don't mind. It is appreciated. If you have enjoyed tonight's show, it does help us find new victims for our AV cult. So please do that, and we'll try and get some numbers up and bring some more people along to the AV fun. But that's it for tonight. My thanks to...
Hang on, no competition?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
Easy right. Tiger.
To win a copy.
You're in a rush, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm sweltering. I'm stuck to this chair. That's a problem.
Easy question. To win a copy of Mosley, It's Complicated on Blu-ray, use the following question to select the correct answer from the competition page. What was Max Mosley's first name?
Hey, say that again.
Who was Max Mosley's father?
No, what was Max Mosley's first name?
Okay. Yeah, and on that, that's it for tonight. My thanks to Kaz Haller.
I don't ever want to marry you.
Steve Withers.
Don't you talk to Billy Idol that way.
And Ed Selly.
Sir, one more outburst. I will strangle you with my microphone wire. You understand me?
If you enjoyed I'm going to have to go and watch that again. If you enjoyed the podcast, then please give us a like and subscribe to the channel. Plus, hit the notification bell to be informed every time we publish new live streams, product reviews, and so on. And there's lots of videos coming up. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. You can bookmark avforums.com for latest reviews, news, and video. And, of course, leave us a five-star rating if your podcast provider allows you to do that. Then please leave us a rating. I'm Phil Hinton. Thank you very much for listening and watching this evening, and we'll catch you again next week.